So this morning, we're beginning a new series of messages on what is probably the most familiar passage in all the Bible, the 23rd Psalm. And one of the challenges of preaching on the 23rd Psalm is that we all know it so well. We've heard it all before. How can we see anything new in it? And yet, I have found, as I've been preparing for these messages, that there is such a depth of treasure and a fresh word for each of us. So each week, as we go through the psalm together, we're going to read it together from a different translation of the Bible. And today, as we focus on the first verse, I've chosen the translation from the Good News Bible. And I'd like to ask if you could stand in honor of the scripture, and let's read this psalm together in the Good News Version. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in fields of grass and leads me to quiet pools of fresh water. He gives me strength. He guides me in the right paths as he has promised. Even though I go through the deepest darkness, I will not be afraid, Lord, for you are with me. Your shepherd's rod and staff protect me. You prepare a banquet for me where all my enemies can see me. You welcome me as an honored guest and fill my cup to the brim. I know that your goodness and love will be with me all my life, and your house will be my home as long as I live. Amen. So once again, this morning we included some teaching notes, and you're welcome to follow along as we go through this message together and write things down as you feel led to do so. So, what would you say is the most frequent command in the Bible? Is it the great commandment? Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself? Well, that's certainly an important command, but it is not the most frequent one. Or how about the Great Commission? Go and make disciples. That's not a great command, but it's not the one that appears most frequently in Scripture. No, the most frequent command in the Bible is don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Those words run like a thread through the entire Bible. God said, don't be afraid, to Abraham, to Moses, to Joshua. An angel said, don't be afraid, to Mary and Joseph. And Jesus frequently told people, don't be afraid. He was all the time telling his disciples this. One evening, after a long day of ministry beside the lake, Jesus said to them, let's cross over to the other side. And they left the crowd and took Jesus in a boat, and there were other boats following along. And gale-force winds arose, and waves crashed against the boat so that the boat was swamped. And the disciples were cold, they were soaking wet, they were exhausted from rowing against the choppy sea. The sea was so vast, their boat was so small. And where was Jesus while this terrifying storm was raging? Well, he was asleep on a cushion in the back of the boat. And the disciples woke him up and they said, teacher, don't you care if we perish? And Jesus got up and ordered the wind to be calm and the waves to be still. And there was a great calm. And then Jesus asked his disciples this question that he's likely to ask you The beginning of a new school year is exciting, but it can be a fearful time as well. I imagine there are some students and parents and teachers who've got some butterflies in the stomach preparing for this new school year. Some years ago, I read an article by a Christian writer named Phil Huber, and he put into words what I think many of us experience. I know I do. He wrote this: "I am a fearful person, not in the sense that I'm phobic, though I am a bit wary of heights. This is fear as anxiety. I'm worried. I worry that my bills will outlast my paycheck. I worry that my children will be enticed down the broad path. I worry that that unfamiliar tightness in my stomach could be more than just a curiosity. I worry that my life seems irritated with me. I worry that I've squandered opportunities, that I've missed God's blessing, that I'm wasting my life. In fact, I worry about most anything that appears to threaten my security and well-being." I read that and I felt like, I could have written that. For I confess that too often, I'm filled with fear. And maybe you could have written that as well. And I wonder, what is it that you are fearful about these days? The command, "Don't be afraid," is the most frequent command in the Bible because every one of us experiences fear. God says, "Fear not," and it's another way that God says, "Trust me." And the Bible continually invites us to have confidence that God will provide everything we need. But trust like that doesn't come naturally. We can be like the disciples when the wind and waves are beating against the boat. When the wind picks up and the waves start rocking the boat, we can wonder, does God really provide everything I need? Fear causes us to miss the mark. It causes us to hurry, to worry, to fret, to fuss. It undermines our health and our happiness. Fear makes us suspicious of other people, especially if those people are different from us. Fear causes us to hold on too tightly to our possessions or our relationships or our past, afraid that tomorrow we won't have everything that we need. Now, I don't know what fears you might be facing today or what the consequences of your fear are for you, but I do know this, that what the Apostle John declared in his New Testament letter long ago is still true for you and me today. Let's read this together. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear." Perfect love. The love that John is talking about is the love that we discover in relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And perfect love, he says, drives out fear. Now today, as we begin this new series on this most familiar Psalm 23, we remember that across generations, people have returned to this beautiful picture of God. God of perfect love, who cares for us like a shepherd. Now often we hear these words at funerals because they offer such comfort in the face of death. But it's also important that we hear the 23rd Psalm in light because it's really a psalm about living. Psalm 23 offers a picture of what it looks like when we live our lives with God every day. When we live our lives lives with God every day. Now today, as we get started in this psalm, I want to focus only on the first verse. And I'd like if we could read it together. Are you ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. When I live my life with God every day, I discover that God will provide everything I need. I discover that God is the only essential in my life. Let's read that verse again. Where you see the bold print, say it louder, okay? The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. I have everything I need. How many people do you know that can say those words and really mean them? Does God really provide everything I need? We live in a culture that's just flooded with advertising. An industry whose primary goal is to convince us that we don't really have everything we need. We're conditioned to think that if we had more, if we had bigger, if we had better than we already have, we'd be happier, more secure, more popular, more attractive. And so we go looking for love in all the wrong places. We are not satisfied, even though we have so much. Jesus reminds us in the Sermon on the Mount, in a culture such as we live in, where true contentment comes from, we learn to trust God for everything when we claim these words as our own. Matthew chapter 6. Therefore I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food? And the body more than clothes? And then he suggests that we look at the grass in the field and the birds of the air and consider, if God so cares for these, how much more does he care for us? And then Jesus says that we should desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness. And all these things will be given to us as well. So how do I learn to trust God the way Jesus wants us to? To trust God for everything. Well, I learned to trust God for everything, as I discover, first of all, who God is. Let's read this first verse of Psalm 23 again, speaking a little louder when we get to the highlighted words. Are you ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Now just consider for a moment how great the God is who provides everything. Psalm 8 declares, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have put in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? And yet the psalm goes on to say how precious we are in God's sight. Philip Keller, who is no relation of mine, wrote a classic book on Psalm 23 called The Shepherd's Books at the 23rd Psalm. And he says that whenever he goes outside at night and looks up at the sky, as surely David the shepherd did who wrote this psalm, he is reminded of the greatness of God. Looking up at the stars, Keller says, we remember that at least 250 million times 250 million such bodies, each larger than our sun, have been scattered across the vast universe by the Creator's hand. The planet Earth, he says, which is our temporary home for a few short years, is so minute. minute, a speck in space. And yet, the creator of such an enormous universe says that he is my shepherd and invites me to see myself as always and everywhere belonging to him. The Lord who created this vast universe and all that is in it, the Lord of all history, the Lord who has power over sin and darkness, the Lord revealed in Jesus Christ risen from the dead, the Lord who has built his church so that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it, the Lord of lords is my shepherd. I learn to trust God for everything when I discover who God is. And I also learn to trust God for everything when I discover what God does. Let's repeat the verse once again, speaking more loudly where the word is highlighted. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. That was good. Yeah. Wow. Now, we may not be too familiar anymore with shepherding, at least not in the sense that perhaps David was. But we do recognize that the shepherd of a flock is the ultimate caregiver. Shepherds manage the food supply, leading sheep where they can find adequate pasture instead of bare brown fields. And when sheep are afflicted with wounds and diseases, the shepherd is there to treat them, as a doctor would. As a protector of sheep, the shepherd defends the sheep from dogs and thieves and protects them from the environment by giving them shelter. And when sheep get lost or wander into a dangerous place, the shepherd will search for them relentlessly to rescue them. Imagining what the shepherd does helps me to see that there is nothing to fear. The shepherd is always leading, always providing, always watching over, even when I'm not aware of it. God has gone so far as to be revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A friend of mine has a huge print of this famous portrayal of the parable of the lost sheep from Luke 15. And every time I look at that, I say, when you retire, and I have that quoted in my office, because for me, it portrays a powerful image of what the shepherd does for us and how far God the shepherd is willing to go to rescue you and me from harm. How do I learn to trust God to provide everything I need? Well, I do that as I discover who God is, and I do that as I discover what God has done and continues to do. And then there's one more thing. And this, I believe, is the most important thing of all. I learn to trust God for everything. For everything. As I learn to know the shepherd. Let's read this verse one more time, again, a bit louder, with the highlighted word. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. One commentator suggests, and I agree with her, that the word my is the most powerful word in that verse. The shepherd knows me better than I know myself. The shepherd knows my need,
even before I ask.
The shepherd watches over and even leads me. Often I'm not even aware of it until I look back to see. I am forever in the shepherd's care. But here's the question. Do you know the shepherd? Do you know the one who cares for you beyond what you could ask or imagine? A little later in John chapter 10, Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I give up my life for the sheep. That same intimate relationship that exists between God the Father and God the Son is available to you and me through Jesus Christ. If only we would open our hearts to His loving presence, we could live with confidence that I have everything I need. Last summer, my Betsy and I were blessed to make a trip to Hawaii. And while we were there, we threw caution to the wind, and we did something that we have never done before. We went snorkeling. And we didn't just wade along the shore to snorkel for the first time. We boarded a catamaran with a radical captain and sailed along the coast of Maui. And as we neared that first spot where we were going to have to jump off the boat into the deep, deep water, the crew handed out the gear. And we got our goggles and we got our flippers. And we learned how to put the snorkel on the right way. And after a quick lesson, off the back of the boat we went into the deep, deep water. And at first I got a big mouthful of salt water and almost drowned. But after I figured it out, it was great. I mean, floating on top of the water face down, breathing through the snorkel, we saw colorful fish go by. We saw some plants. We even had a few turtles rise up near us in the water, and there were no sharks. And I thought, wow, what could be better than this? Well, floating along the surface for a while, I looked down, and 20 feet below me, there were like a dozen scuba divers. And they were way down deep. And they were all gathered around some treasure they had discovered. And while it was fun floating on the surface, I really, really wanted to see what they were looking at. But I couldn't because I didn't have the right gear for that. And as I was watching them, I thought, you know, someday that'll fit in a sermon. And it only took me a year. But when it comes to knowing God, I don't want to be a snorkeler. I want to put on the scuba gear and go deep. I don't want to just come to church for an hour a week and hear a sermon, sing a few songs, and say a prayer. I want to plumb the depths like the psalmist did, to live a life with God every day. I want to set apart time every day to go deep into God's Word and deeper into prayer. And when I'm in church, I want to plumb the depths of worship to be open to everything that God has to offer me. I want to go deep this fall into a Sunday school class or a small group where I can learn and grow as a disciple of Jesus. I want to go deep into fellowship with my sisters and brothers in Christ. I want to go deep into offering what I have to advance God's purposes. I want to go deep in listening and caring, loving, and serving. I want to go deep. That's what I want for you as well. Smart work is not bad. I mean, we had a great time floating around on the surface. But as we enter this series, I think it's time to put on the scuba gear. For as we go deep with the Lord who is my shepherd, whatever comes our way, we hear the voice. The voice that says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward again, and as they do, I'm going to ask that you would join with me as we enter into God's presence in a time of prayer together. Let us pray. Oh God, our shepherd, we thank you. We thank you that you are with us every day in all the circumstances of life. We thank you that you celebrate our joys and that you have a heart full of compassion in our times of need. We thank you that you call us together in your flock and that you lead us in all the places where we're safe from harm and secure and where we find all that we need. Dear God, thank you. Thank you for going before us and loving us. And we pray that today we might commit ourselves to going deeper in knowing you, in knowing your love, in knowing your provision. Lord, you provide all that we need. And Lord, as we join in prayer, we are mindful of this world in which we live, a world that is troubled in so many ways. And we pray for your peace, Lord. And we pray for those who find it difficult to say they have everything they need because they're not sure of the next meal or whether they'll have safety and shelter. We pray for your church. We pray for your church in this place and in all the places where your people gather that you would move through us to join with you in providing everything that they need. And Lord, we thank you that you're also at work in the lives of those from our church family who need the touch of your hands. Lord, we remember the loved ones of Doris Zimmerman who went on to life eternal. And we ask, Lord, for your grace and your peace to surround and strengthen them as we celebrate their life. And Lord, we also pray for Linda Davis, who's been admitted to Carlisle Hospital with pneumonia. We join, Lord, with her family and dear ones in asking for your healing hand to be upon her life. And Lord, for all those others whom we carry in our hearts this day, we ask your blessing. And once again, Lord, at the beginning of this school year, we turn to you. And we thank you for all the opportunity before us. And thank you, Lord, you go with us always, everywhere. trust in you. Thank you, God, for your great, great love for us. And thank you for the privilege of being yours. This we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.